is Kim Drewski, and she's going to talk to us about horticulture as a necessary partner in land preservation when conserving endangered plants.
So, yes, like Matt said, I'm going to continue with a pretty broad discussion of horticulture and conservation. I hope to show you today how horticulture can help us to conserve endangered plants. So I'll introduce the role of land preservation in plant conservation and briefly discuss its limitations. I'll then get into an overview of how ex situ conservation can address those limitations and how horticulture equips us to carry out ex situ conservation. So land preservation is basically protecting land in its natural form, or perhaps a restored condition. This preserves the entire ecosystem, ideally, and the ecosystem processes that help to support the plants that we're trying to protect on that land. It does have some limitations, though. It can be expensive to buy, protect, and maintain that land. This can lead to problems down the road with inadequate size or connectivity among the land parcels, and this can be problematic for the potential for plant population growth and migration. Secondly, humans. We impact land all the time, even protected land, and that does threaten the plants on that land. And then there's climate change. As we all know, temperatures are shifting, and even protected land might be unsuitable for the plants on that land. So in mere decades, plants might need help migrating to new preserved land parcels. So ex situ conservation can help us address these limitations. It is simply off-site conservation, or protecting a species outside of its natural habitat. And this method of conservation relies typically on gene banking or storage of an organism's materials like seeds, embryos, tissues, in an artificial environment, like seeds in a seed freezer. And then the end goal is typically reintroduction of those propagules back into the natural environment. So ex situ conservation, taking the plants out of this natural environment, safeguards against extinction of the species and helps to maintain genetic diversity of that species in case the protected land is damaged. So in order to grow plants off-site, like Matt alluded to, we use horticulture. Horticulture provides this framework that we need to actually be able to grow plants outside of their natural environment, and ideally be able to move these populations back into their home habitats. So horticulture as a science offers to us a broad knowledge base and methods for plant propagation and growth. It also provides the people who've studied horticulture for many years. Botanic gardens in particular are really great for conservation. They provide lots of space for growing these ex situ populations as living collections. They provide facilities like greenhouses and laboratories that we use for propagation and growing, all the tools and materials within those facilities. Again, the personnel, greenhouse managers and gardeners are essential to growing these off-site populations. And database tools and accessioning systems are wonderful in conservation. So accessioning tools, accessioning databases, are really essential in conservation because, especially in reintroduction projects, when you're moving plants around, you need to be mindful of the amount of genetic diversity you're working with. You need to be able to assess the relative risks of inbreeding in a small isolated population versus outbreeding depression. So if you're moving plants closer to one another, they can interbreed and potentially introduce deleterious genes into that existing population. So these accessions databases, which many botanic gardens and arboreta have, allow us to track the populations that you collect and perhaps receive from other gardens, all the way through from seed collection to growth in the greenhouse, and even through on to reintroduction. So public gardens, again, are really wonderful in conservation, particularly because they allow us to interface with the public. So at botanic gardens, we can display at least some of our off-site plant populations as living collections. And this can help us educate the public on which plants we're propagating and protecting, why we're protecting them, even just what they look like. Can help to garner public support for your conservation efforts. And it might even encourage people to donate their time or money to your conservation efforts. So at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, where I work, we work on all of Minnesota's native orchids, plus a variety of rare plants. And we've been collecting and banking seed, working on propagation protocols, maintaining living collections, and we've done a couple of reintroduction projects. And this is all, of course, made possible by the horticultural resources afforded to us by the Arboretum. We also were members of the Center for Plant Conservation and the North American Orchid Conservation Center. These are organizations that work with us and with many other institutions, horticultural and botanic, throughout the U.S. to help protect and restore native plants. So while land preservation may have some limitations, we can address those limitations with this effective partnership of ex situ conservation and horticulture. And I think it's going to be a really great way going forward to help achieve our conservation goals. And I do want to acknowledge the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, which makes a lot of our orchid work at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum possible. And, of course, thank you to the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. If you have any specific questions about our program that I don't answer today, feel free to email us at this address. Thank you. Right, so we work on Arnoglossum plantaginaneum, which is the Indian plantain, Veronica bolii, and a few carnivorous plants,